Hi, it's Joanna Angel here, and you're listening to the Pure Pleasure Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Pure Pleasure Podcast. My name is Dewey, and I'm here with you today. As you heard earlier, I'm sure you noticed, we have the wonderful, beautiful, and talented Miss Joanna Angel from the Burning Angel Empire on the episode today. We're able to connect with her through Skype. Joanna and I had a great conversation, talked about a lot of things, talked about a lot of business and political action that's going on right now in California. She was super excellent, and we're really excited to have her on the podcast. She's got a new film to be released called Cindy, Queen of Hell. You can find out all of that on joannaangel.com and burningangel.com. And if you're not a member already, I definitely suggest doing so. We had a great conversation, and we're going to show it to you right now. Here's Miss Joanna Angel on the Pure Pleasure Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Pure Pleasure Podcast. I'm joined today by Joanna Angel, founder of burningangel.com, and actually a pretty big household name, I think, in the adult industry for sure. How you doing today?
Doing good.
Good.
Doing okay.
Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I've been seeing posts all over the place from everyone, from you to Amy Schumer, and posting videos all over the place, So I wanted to be sure to wish you a happy Rosh Hashanah. So I wanted to jump right into it. I've seen some interviews before, and I think everyone asks you the same questions: how you got your start,
and yes.
I don't want to do that. So I think everyone knows at this point. But I kind of wanted to know how you got your start as far as in childhood. What kind of led up to what you're doing now, as far as did anything kind of change for you during your teen years, or anything that kind of predispositioned you for what you're doing now, or
ooh, my childhood. I would feel horrible for my parents if there was something they did that led me to this. But no, I think ever since I was really young, like, I was just always kind of rebellious, you know. That's just always been me. Like, whatever it was that you were supposed to do, I did the opposite. I guess I was kind of a jerk. I've just always been like that. My mom said I was like that when I was a baby. I was like that when I was, like, in kindergarten. I was just kind of, like, did my own thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was, like, I was always, like, gravitated towards weirdos, and I was always, like, the weirdo amongst the weirdos, you know? Like, even when I was in the punk scene and stuff like that, I was, like, I don't know, you know, I was like a weirdo amongst everybody.
Sure.
You know, like, I've just always been kind of just drawn to things that aren't normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I've always been, you know, like, and there was, I think my parents tried to do everything right so that wouldn't happen.
Sure.
But that's just, you know, kind of who I am, you know, like, I always gravitated towards just people that were different. I never felt like I fit in, or never was interested by any quote normal people. So I don't know. I think getting into porn was just kind of an extension to that, you know?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. I think I just wanted like a, I don't know. I didn't want to be like a boring, like drone of society. You know, I didn't want to get like a job that I hated. I didn't want to like be part of the 9-to-5 circle of life. I don't know. There was just something in me that never wanted to do anything kind of normal. And I don't know, I guess porn just kind of made sense to me.
Okay. And that's, I mean, that's awesome. That's a really good segue into my next question was now that you've kind of made your own way. I mean, you started out, you know, fairly small and have really carved a name for yourself, from coming from an outcast, point of view to now being, you know, on top. It seems like, do you feel the same about, how you're going about things, doing things the same way, the DIY? I mean, you're doing pretty much everything in house, correct?
Yeah, no, we do everything ourselves. You know, obviously along the way, like there's just certain things we can't do on our own, you know, like I have a distributor, but even then, you know, with the distributor, I literally just give them the finished movie and they get it into stores, you know, and I'm stubborn. I mean, anyone that I work with in porn, like I always get suggestions of things I should do and I never listen to anyone. It's just kind of always been the same way. But, you know, I this is my life and my career, you know, things you don't think about when you're 22, you know, I do think about now, like I have people that I pay, I love my company and I love what I do. And I do have that fear of losing everything I have. So I probably, you know, try to think a little more like a business person now than I would have 10 years ago. You know, mm-hmm. like I know one wrong move could really mean the end of my company. I don't have, you know, $30,000 to just throw away, you know, like I can't take the same risks that other people can. So I have to be a little bit calculated, especially these days when it's so hard to make a profit off porn. So, I mean, you know, we still do everything ourselves. We're still like, you know, a DIY, like small porn company. I mean, I'm speaking to you from my bedroom. I'm not in an office, you know, my boyfriend's in the other room, like working on editing stuff. And then he's going to have to go to work to go do a scene for another company. So we have money to pay our bills. And then he's going to come home and be editing again. And I have meetings to go to during the day. And, you know, we just kind of, this is not some big time. I'm not speaking to you from an island or even, you know, a big office with Fiji water or anything.
Sure.
this is a DIY operation, but yes, I, you know, I behave more like a real business person now than I used to, because I don't want to lose everything I worked for. And if that means that I need to follow certain patterns or certain niches or just, you know, list, like do more calculated kind of like research before I do shoots rather than just, you know, thinking of things off the top of my head and working off of pure, just, you know, whatever, passion, you know, so I think in that sense, I've probably changed a little bit because I walked into this industry blindly. So I didn't even know what was smart and what wasn't smart. And my mm-hmm. ignorance was bliss. And now like I do, you know, I do some research before I spend my money on things, you know.
Sure. That's a good way to go about it. That's going to keep you
successful. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm scared of losing what I have, so I want to do whatever I can to keep going, you know. Like I'm 35, like it would be ridiculous for me to lose all this tomorrow and have to start over and do something else, you know. That could have, if that would have happened when I was 27 or 28, it would have been like, all right, well, that was fun, now on to the next thing. But this is, I've got to make this last forever and this is it, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, I just have to be a little more, you know, careful.
Okay. And talking about that with being careful, I mean, I come from the music world and I was going to ask you.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah. How the tube sites and all that stuff that's putting it out, like streaming now for music, how you make fractions of a cent on a song.
I know.
How does that affect your business and kind of how has that changed how you go about it?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, 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 very hard. It's hard to convince people to buy things that are free. I mean, it's like impossible, mm-hmm. you know, like doesn't matter how good your product is. It's hard. Like if I was at the supermarket and they were like, wow, you know, you can buy this bottle of wine for $10 or you can get another bottle of wine for free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sometimes that might be the same exact bottle of wine. It's not even a different one. It's literally the same one, just, you know, with, yeah, it's literally the same thing because, you know, my own product is free all over the place. So how do you convince someone like, no, can you please just watch it here and not there? How do you do that? I don't know. We just, I think you have to promote to a bigger audience because it used to be like, you know, if you showed your porn to 100 people, there's a good chance, you know, 60 people would pay for it. Now you have to show your porn to 100 million people, hoping that the same 60 people will buy it, you know?
Sure.
I think you have to just promote to a much bigger audience because, you know, the conversion rate's going to be smaller. And I don't know, just do the best you can. I mean, I used to try to stay off the tube sites because then and hoping that people would be like, oh, we can't find her stuff here. I'm just going to go somewhere else. But you can't, if you're not on tube sites now, then nobody even knows who you are anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've tried to invent all these things like, okay, let's be strategic with what we put on there. Maybe if we put this video on there and only put 10 minutes, somebody will want to see the rest. And mm-hmm. I make up different shit every month and just see what works. But at the end of the day, you got to just – I have to do like 20 times as much promotion as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Just hoping that, you know, it will stick, do lots of different promo codes, do lots of different, okay, half off if you do this. You try to just kind of shove the membership and the value of the membership in everyone's face. You know, I try to do my best to capitalize off of whatever I can, you know, like, there are still a couple companies out there like hotels that, you know, that license movies, you know, for their pay-per-view or whatever. And I tried to, you know, make more deals like that because you at least get like a flat fee for those. I don't know, do like live cam shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a nonstop, literally 24/7 hustle. And, you know, for half the month I have to think of what I should shoot that people will like, and the other half the month I have to think of creative ways to get people to pay for it. So anyone who thinks this is easy is an asshole, you know. It's not. It's very, very tough. And I think the only reason why we're able to survive is because we have like a household name now. I'm very glad we started when we did. And, you know, we have a lot of members that have been members for so many years. And I'm sure a lot of them are like, all right, I'll just keep staying a membership, keep my membership instead of canceling it because I like it here. And I don't know, we just try to do whatever I can. So anyone who does pay for their porn feels like they got a good value and they don't feel ripped off and they don't feel that desire to be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to go watch this free.
Sure. Sure. And, it seems like the world's kind of going in circles as far as culture goes. I mean, when punk rock was first starting out, I mean, even before punk rock, singles were the thing. You had a single, you know, you released a 7-inch or whatever, and people wanted that. Then people started wanting albums, and now it's going back to more on demand. I want this song and this song and this song. Whereas now with the tube sites, I mean, you get 2 or 3 minutes or 10 minutes of a movie that's a full length film. You know, and you're putting everything into this movie and then someone gets, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of it. I mean, do you get a lot of repeat plays? I would wonder, you know, like people listen to a song 100 times because they love it, but do they watch that, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of a scene 100 times or do they just move on to the next, you know?
Yeah. I have no idea, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
So, well, has this whole...
I mean, now you don't even have to go to a tube site. You just look on Twitter. Ever since Twitter raised the thing to 2 minutes, like, mm-hmm. you can see so much porn on Twitter.
Yeah. So. I'm surprised Instagram hasn't jumped on board on that one. But
I know.
Well, with having that much of a, you know, you're trying to, you're hustling constantly. You're trying to get... grab that viewer and
I know. So really anyone listening, it means a lot to just pay for something. I know it's free everywhere, but mm-hmm. just pay for it. If you want to keep seeing this shit happen, you know,
sure.
Like, it costs money to make. People don't show up and do pornos for free. Not even my best friends. I have very close friends that I hire, and they still get paid, and they get paid a good amount of money. So you just can't ask people to come over and have sex, you know, for free and have a camera guy and everything. Like, porn is not free to make, you know?
Yeah. No, I absolutely understand that. And I mean, you put months, I'm sure, into these, even the parody videos. I mean, writing the scripts and filming and arranging everything. I mean, that takes a good amount of your time. And if you're not getting any money, I mean, because you're shelling out a good amount of money, I'm sure, for these movies. I mean, the quality is just excellent. And that's not cheap. I mean, those cameras aren't cheap.
No, nothing's cheap. Yeah, it's not. So I mean, it's cheap compared to like a Hollywood movie, you know, but it's not cheap.
Sure. it's like the Blair Witch with better cameras, right? Or the Jackass and all those that had those low budgets and came on top. So I mean, but what I was saying earlier with you trying to grab a viewer and keep him there, I mean, the extremes seem to have gotten more and more over the years on what's on camera and what's presented. And I mean, you've done some pretty intense things. I was curious, you know, what do you do to prepare for a scene like that that's so intense? Like, some of these have, I mean, I know it's all fantasy and stuff like that, but when it's actually happening, you're prepping for it, coming down from it. I mean, do you have a routine or do you have like a...
like the rough, like the BDSM
stuff?
Yeah,
that or like the you know, 2-on-1, 3-on-1 kind of stuff. Like, it just seems like there'd be a ramp up and a cool down for that as far as, you know, does it take you a couple days to get over that or...
No, you know, like, this industry is not meant for everyone, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. I feel like I go into those things the same way. I don't know. I actually remember talking to my friend who was like a pretty well-known, like a extreme sports guy, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of go, anytime I do anything, I don't know. The minute I like, the camera goes on and my makeup's on and my outfit's on, I'm just kind of like ready for anything. I don't know. Like, I'm able to just kind of walk into it. It's almost like a Superman, like putting on his Superman clothes in a phone booth or something. I don't know. I just step into this different persona and then I step right out. And I think that's probably why I've been able to last in the industry for so long, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. I can just kind of turn something on and turn something off. And maybe that's not natural. Maybe that's not well. Maybe I'm some kind of sociopath. But it's really like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I like challenging scenes. I like doing like gangbangs and DPs and stuff like that. I like doing things on camera that are like, that feel to me almost like a sport, you know, uh-huh. like I feel, and that's fun for me. And I like doing things on camera that I would never do off camera. I don't know. It's like this weird little playground where I can experiment and do different things. And then when it's over, you know?
Sure.
And I like it. And I'm lucky. I'm really comfortable in the industry. I have no problem, you know, telling anyone no, or I don't want to do this, but I've barely ever had to do that anyway. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I'm very comfortable with everyone. I'm lucky. I'm working on my own set, so everybody kind of has to listen to me, and I've been pretty fortunate with that. But, I don't know. I just kind of step in and I do it, and I get excited and I get like exhilarated, and I want to just do everything I can do. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of fun for me. I mean, I think I have to spend so much time doing so much boring, like, business shit. Like, when I actually do get to perform, it's like a vacation for me. I'm like, yes, today I actually get to have sex. Yay. It's fun. And I want to do everything that my body can physically do, you know, yeah. Like, I don't know. My emotions don't get lost in there. I don't know. It just doesn't, it's weird because it's real and it's not real. Like, I don't feel like whatever I'm doing is going to, like, it's never had some like mental effect that lasted on me. As soon as it's done, it's just done. And I know that might be hard for a lot of people to understand. And like I said, that's probably not very healthy, but that's how I've been able to do this for a long time and not go insane, you know?
Sure. And I mean, have you noticed physical changes over the years that have, I mean, just from the amount of scenes, I mean, is there any, you know, physical changes that, I mean, do you not quite recover as fast as you did before? Like, you know, like later that night, you're like, oh man, this is painful. Or is it?
No,
more...
it's the opposite.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's the opposite. I'm like, yeah, I used to get like a little bit sore and stuff, and now it just doesn't happen anymore.
Okay.
I developed calluses, you know, like when you play guitar for a long time. Or
yes,
like
I know exactly.
When you're like an MMA fighter and you get those cauliflower ears, and I'm sure the first time you get punched in the face, you're like, all right, maybe we should take it easy tonight. And then, you know, after you've been a fighter for a long time, you're like, all right, I'm good.
You're like the Marshawn Lynch of the adult world as far as beast mode, just going into it, put everything against you and just fight your way through it, but loving it the whole time.
I really do. It's hard. And, you know, I feel like sometimes people really look for, like, they really want to like feel bad for performers, you know, like they really do. Everybody's looking for them to like say one thing. So I always try to be careful of what I say. You know, so if I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's some, you know, like I don't feel anything afterwards. I feel like that phrase could be taken and used against me, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. I like a challenge and it's fun. And I don't know. I feel fine, you know, and
yeah,
that's how I feel.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun for me, you know. I mean, this summer I worked for the first time with Nacho Vidal, and that was probably a little more challenging than anything else I ever did because he's like giant.
Yeah. Was that?
That probably took like a good day of recovery.
Yeah.
I think that was the only time.
The cool down finally happened.
My camera guy was laughing at me because he's been shooting my stuff, you know, for a long time, and he was like, I think Joanna's tapped out. He's like, I've never seen this happen to her. Like, okay.
That's amazing. Well,
and I was like, no, I'm fine.
No, just keep going. Oh my god.
But that's a really extreme situation.
Sure. And I mean, the one thing I think you've helped pioneer over the years, and just from, you know, seeing interviews and such, the image that you present and the attitude, I mean, it's really kind of changed where things were before, I think. I think, you know, with everything, the access that people have, especially to music and stuff now where every artist is so accessible and there's no magic anymore, I think the adult industry's gone the complete opposite. Like, I think the image has gotten better as far as the conditions and, you know, you don't see as much of the depressing side of it, especially with your business. I mean, you don't see that, you know what I'm talking about, where I think I watched an interview on, you know, those 2020 or Nightline shows where, you know, so-and-so was plucked from Utah and thrown into this business and told what to do and now wants to kill themselves. And I don't see any of that from your empire.
There's so many girls that want to do porn. Like, so many. There's no need for anyone to force anyone. I have to force people out. I get texts. My phone blows up every month. Like, hey, can you use me in anything? Can you use me in anything? Like, oh, I love shooting for you. I want to shoot again. Like, there is not enough. I don't have enough money or production days to shoot all the girls that I want to shoot. I have to, like, turn so many people away that are beautiful and have a great attitude and are not drug addicts, and a lot of them are educated. Like, there is absolutely – so maybe there was a time where, you know, porn directors felt a need to bring people here that didn't want to be here because there just wasn't many people to choose from. I'm not saying that's a good excuse, but there is absolutely no reason for any director, producer, or anyone to try to – get someone into porn that doesn't want to be in porn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, and there's just so many willing, available girls with great attitudes that are great performers that all want to work, you know? So yeah. Why the hell would you go to Utah and, you know, take someone out of their regular life, you know, like there's, it's just, it doesn't make any sense, you know?
Sure. Sure.
There's just no need for that. And, you know, everybody is, I think, especially now, with, like, everybody's just trying to stay in business. You know, nobody wants to pull a fast one on someone. I mean, a lot with piracy, I suppose the only good thing about it is a lot of those small, slimy, like, directors or company owners are gone, you know?
Yeah.
The only really the people left are, you know, it's hard to make a profit now. So the people who are left are smart business people that do things legitimately, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. I wanted to touch on another topic that seemed to be pretty big right now is the No on 60 campaign. Down there in California, it seems like that's a new regurgitation of the previous motions that have been put in place for condom use. It seems like it's been going on for a while, and it either passed and wasn't enforced. And what's your take on that?
I mean, it's Prop 60 is. I hope I don't sound too jaded and depressed from this conversation. Between piracy and Prop 60, it's just like somebody give us a break, you know? I just want to do my job, but like, Prop 60 is very terrible. I mean, there's been, I guess the condom law has been a law for quite some time now. It's something like 10 years, but it wasn't really enforced, and the health department let porn kind of regulate itself because we weren't causing any problems and we bring a lot of money into California. I don't know. And then this guy came along, his name is Michael Weinstein. Mm-hmm. And, he really just for some reason just really hates porn. I don't know why. And he is, I don't know. He has a lot of money and he has done everything he can to, he's kind of shooken up the health department to be like, hey guys, you're ignoring this law and you can't do that. So he's just been filing complaints again and again and again about a bunch of different porn companies. He did file one against mine. I have like a $40,000 fine to pay right now that I'm currently fighting, for shooting porn without a condom. So if Prop 60 passes, the condom law will 100% be enforced, and not only will it be enforced, Michael Weinstein will have himself, will have himself a job to basically police porn that our state taxes will be paying for him to have that position, where he will be able to just kind of pick and choose what porn companies can get, people need to go after. And also like the whistleblowers, like if you like see a porn, like if Prop 60 does go through, if you see any porn anywhere and just a random person and you're like, oh my God, I think that porn was shot in Los Angeles without a condom. You can call and file a complaint with the health department and you'll actually be rewarded with like $25,000 or something like that, that comes out of the studio's pocket. So there will be absolutely no way for us to operate if that goes through. And even if you are, shooting with a condom, there's still a whole bunch of things that need to happen that are, you know, insane. Like, you know, you need to educate every single person on set with some bloodborne pathogen safety class. You won't be able to pay anyone like independent contractors anymore. Every studio's name, address will be, you know, public on file somewhere so people can all access them. And a lot of studios operate out of their houses like mm-hmm, me. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a lot of performers that have their own little studios from home. So everybody's information will be public. It will ruin porn, and it will be policed by, a guy that hates porn.
Oh my God.
When I first heard about it, I wasn't even worried about it. When I first heard about it, it was like in January or something, like, oh, this November, like Michael Weinstein's going to have like an initiative on the ballot, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, there's no way that can be legal. Mm-hmm. Like, no way. I'm like, how, there's no way it's going to happen. I'm not scared. And it happened. I think not only is it bad for porn, it's bad for all small businesses everywhere. I mean, what if you're like a guy that just owns like a little bed and breakfast, and then somebody who owns a hotel chain or something who just hates bed and breakfasts decides to just call the health department every single day and be like, oh, you need to put this bed and breakfast out of business because they didn't like put their towels away the right way. Or don't you know the underneath like ordinance number 62.5, like you're supposed to put a triangle on the towels like this, you know, like,
yeah,
like, and it will be, if this goes through, I mean, that could basically mean anyone can kind of buy their way into ruining any industry. That, like, a lot of people are like, oh, porn is this $10 billion a year industry, $10 billion a year. Okay, fine, maybe porn altogether brings in a lot of money, but porn is comprised of a whole bunch of small businesses. It really is. There's no like Nike and Coca-Cola in porn. There's like one big giant company that, you know, that whatever, MindGeek, you know, they own like a lot of the stuff, but other than that, everyone's like, what America would consider small business. Even mm-hmm. some of the bigger companies like Wicked or Vivid, they're still not companies the size of, you know, Nike or Coca-Cola, you know, like they're still, even though they're big companies in porn, I mean, the only big companies in porn are like giant companies, you know, like Hustler and Playboy,
yeah,
and MindGeek, you know, that those are the big ones. But there's so many small businesses operating, and those are going to be the ones that Prop 60 just wipes out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really terrible, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. Well, I guess I'm going to figure it out.
Well, is there a...
If it does pass, I won't be shooting in California anymore.
Sure, sure. And is there... I should have looked this up beforehand, but, like, you know, there's the Screen Actors Guild and everything else. Is there a union for adult performers?
I mean, I guess they're... one has started, but I don't like to, yeah, there's one that started, but it's, not very well liked by most performers.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's definitely, I'm part of the man, you know, like, yeah. I'm a producer and a director. I can't join things that are supposed to represent performers. I'm the boss.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm coming from a very biased point of view when I say I think performers are treated quite well.
Yeah.
I like to think I treat my employees well. You know, I try to keep everyone happy. I haven't done a porn for a different company in a very long time.
Sure.
You know, and I really do my best to make everybody happy and, make everyone feel safe and have a good time and go home with a smile on their face.
Sure. Well, and you've been doing that for a long time. And I mean, you have a lot to be proud of. I mean, you've come a long way and you're still doing what you want to do. That's admirable. Absolutely. So, well, I do want to throw out there, your newest, film, Cindy, Queen of Hell, is up now.
Yeah. Did you check out the trailer?
I did last night. After we were messaging back and forth, I checked it out. It is awesome. That's going to be great.
Thank you.
I haven't had Thank a chance you. To watch the whole thing yet or anything like that. Cause it's, you know, just the trailer was up. So, but you have, burningangel.com, joanneangel.com. You got your Fleshlight going on. You know, you got your own. Burning Angel's got its own line of toys, correct?
I have a Fleshlight, yeah, and I have a line of BDSM products with Stockroom.
Okay, Stockroom.
Yeah, so you can check those out. Whips, paddles, floggers, stuff like that. Yeah.
Is that the one you're doing the Q&A with coming up here? Is that what that
was? Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's Dr. Me and Asa and Kira are doing a Q&A this weekend, Saturday. I don't know when you put this up, but it's Saturday, October 8th at the Stock Room in Los Angeles. If it's after October 8th, well, then you missed out.
Awesome. All right, Joanna. Well, this has been really cool. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and we're just over a half hour here, so I'll go ahead and let you go. But like I say, thanks so much for doing this, and it'll be up here in the next 2 weeks or so once it launches. So
okay. Congratulations on your new venture.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. All right, everybody. That was my conversation with Joanna Angel from Burning Angel on the Pure Pleasure Podcast. We are at thepurepleasurepodcast.com, SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/purepleasurepod. And if you have any comments, questions, anything like that you want to send our way, purepleasurepod@gmail.com. I really had a good time talking to Joanna today, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. We're going to have a bunch more episodes coming out every week, so stay tuned, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Take care.